Amen. Come on, I hope that you all have had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And my bride, who cooks the turkey in the bag trick? Right? It's unbelievable. Throw it in a bag, do what you got to do to it, and it's just juicy. And it was amazing. And we had family and friends, and it was just ridiculous what took place around our table of so many things to be thankful for and giving God praise for this year and all that he has done and doing. Man, it's just awesome. And I hope, man, Renee and I hope that you had a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving. And Renee put on a feast. We hosted this year. My bride put on a feast that was, we're still eating turkey. Who eats turkey the second day and just loves it? Right? Unbelievable. All the trimmings. She cooked the first day, and then I made her meal for her the second day. I get out easy, man. It's amazing. Come on. What do you got for us, baby? I asked her to come up today and just to pray over me and just share for a second what the Lord has on her heart. Come on, girl.
Amen. We had an awesome Thanksgiving with our family, and I hope that you all did too. But I was just, the thought came to me in the first service. Lenny and Ginny made us a big photo album scrapbook filled with all of Sean's Nana's clippings from different newspapers like the Boston Globe and
in the 20s.
So, you know, the story of Sean's Nana was a child evangelist. And so Lenny and Jenny put together this beautiful photo album book of all of the clippings from newspapers from, you know, 1920 when she was, what, 8 years or 10 years old, 12 years old, and all of the places that she traveled across the country. And she was a child evangelist and just preaching everywhere. And, you know, it's a very impressive book. I mean, there's just page after page. It's a huge album. And, you know, it's just such a blessing that, you know, Sean, he comes from that heritage, and we get to pass that on to our children. And even today, singing, you know, in this second service, you know, God is so faithful. And, like, in my heart, thinking, well, you know, I've been grafted into that heritage. And it's just so amazing that, you know, when you're a child of God, you're grafted in, and God brings you into his family. And it's such a marvelous thing that we get to, you know, be a part of a family. And just the testimonies of people here today, and just, you know, friends that come to church alone, and it just blesses my heart so much. You know, and encourages us that Nana would be so proud, you know, of what is just happening and just our mission here to see as many people saved and set free and follow Jesus as possible. You know, and now we're...
What are you doing?
Sorry. And, you know, amazing. I've been anticipating this message on heaven since March, you know, last year. Like, and I'm just so excited because I want people to hear about heaven. And so we're just going to pray.
Let's pray, baby. Come on.
Amen.
Give me a kiss first because you're beautiful. You cry, I cry. That's, you kill me. Come on.
So, amen. And I just wanted to share the verse. The Bible says that no ear has heard, no eye has seen, no heart has imagined the things that God has prepared for those who love him. And so we are just setting our eyes on heaven today, and I'm just so excited because that's where our hope is. We have that eternal hope, and I'm just so excited for the gift that is inside of Sean that has been passed on, you know, through the generations to him. And he's the best preacher I've ever heard, and I just, I'm excited. Amen. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you've made this day, God. You've anointed this day. You've appointed this day for us, Lord, to hear your good word, Father. We thank you that it brings life and salvation to all those that hear it, Lord, that those who hear this word, Father God, would just be filled up, Lord, that as we come to your table, Lord, we are hungry, we are thirsty. Lord, we are just so excited that you have prepared a word in Sean today, God, and that we get to be the recipients of it today, Lord. And I just pray, God, that you would anoint his tongue to preach this word with just grace and compassion and love, Father God, that every person that hears it, Lord God, would just be filled with the hope of heaven, Lord God, and that hope, that eternal hope that we have, that we will have life forever with you in heaven. And so we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, baby. Come on, she talked like that. I'm ready to go. Let's get, let's preach. If that's what my wife says about me, let's get it going. Come on. Hey, but there's so much, man, to that book. And that was such a blessing. And you know, you come from a great family. I come from great heritage in mom and dad. And just Renee and I were out for a walk Friday night down through Olean and checking out the lights. And our city has done such a beautiful job with the lighting. And they've done such a beautiful job with the streets and the Christmas trees. And just, they really, their decorations have upped their game in the last couple of years. It's been amazing. And we're out for a great walk. And I saw a friend of mine who was a police officer in Olean. And my friend is on his way out, and he's retiring, and he knows my dad. And it's funny because my friend is in his 50s, my dad is in his 80s, and this is a true story. If you know my dad, most of my dad's closest friends are 30 years younger than he is. Like, that's true. Like, he hangs out with 50-year-olds, and my man is going to be 83 here coming up in December, and his friends are the younger crew, the 50-something. It's unbelievable. And he was just saying, Sean, I hope you know that your dad is a very special man. You know, come on. But it's true, right? It's true. And when you sit around the table and you have so much to be thankful for, and then there's people on the street going, your dad's a special man. And I know that. We've known that. And it's something to understand the reality of that. And even it's crazy how things connect, right? Because there's this picture of this little church in Great Valley Humphrey that one of my grandfathers, I come from a line of preachers, a line of men who will preach, great-grandfather, great-grandfather, grandfather, uncle, my cousin, and then my Nana in her 20s. And this book was this amazing book. And there's this picture of this little white church in the Great Valley Humphrey area. And it's this church where one of my grandfathers would preach at. And it's amazing because the story is when we took the beams out of this church, man, they went into a church in Great Valley. Our man, Tim Weaver, who was a part of this church, who's a great contractor, and he's on the mission field at times to work on other churches and bless churches. He took those beams, and I believe it's those beams from Believer's Chapel who were in that church, and that church is in this book of my heritage on where places that my grandfather has preached. It's unbelievable how we are so connected, and God has a plan that he has set forth before the foundations of the world that we're just a spot, and God's doing a great work. Can we say thank you to that man? It's amazing, right? Praise the Lord. It's so good. But I am grateful. And let's just, come on, let's get into this. And today we're going to cover a foundational message and getting into the next couple weeks on heaven and preaching on going home. And what does that look like to go home? And what does heaven look like? And heaven can be a mystery. Like, there's not a whole lot. There's enough that we need to know. God always gives you enough that you need to know, but not everything. Right? And you come to this place to realize that there is a mystery to heaven in a sense of questions like, will I be married in heaven? We're gonna cover that in the next couple of weeks. Will my pets go to heaven? It depends. If it's a cat, no, they're deceivious. They're devil bound. That's all that is, man. They got the devil in them. If you're a cat lover, get saved. I don't know what to tell you. But dogs probably go to heaven. I don't know if I can prove that scripturally, but I'm hoping my man Oliver is with us in heaven. Incredible. But there's a lot of mystery to heaven. We know that there's animals in heaven. We see lion laid down with the lamb. Anyways, that's for another message. But we're laying a foundation today. I'm excited about preaching 3 weeks on going home. Because I think very clearly at times, church, at times, we can have this horizontal view. And I want you to get this, please. And the horizontal view is the majority, and I'll speak for myself, the majority of my time is a horizontal view. And at times I forget that the horizontal view, persons, places, and things that we just see when we look east to west, it's all a breath away. It's all temporary. But we spend the majority of our time on the horizontal. And very little, and to speak for me personally, very little time on the vertical, on that which is forever and that which is eternal. Man, what happens just even in a few weeks as we preach this, that we are reminded again of what it looks like to not look so much. The horizontal is important. Listen, please hear me. The horizontal is important. Everything we do for, as we look east to west on the horizontal here on, the, on our time on earth, everything we do, it matters for our vertical for eternity. And we're going to talk about that briefly today. But you walk in a place to say, what happens if I actually stick my mind more on the eternal and I'm eternally heavenly minded and not so much horizontally minded? What happens if I could shift in the midst of every season, it doesn't matter, it's 2020. I'm talking about for every season of life that we would stop looking at the temporary and we would start setting our mind on the eternal. Colossians 3 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above where Christ sits, not on things of the earth. And what happens if we truly would come to a place to have this heavenly mindset, to think on my eternity more than we actually think on our temporary? Come on, come on. We all live one life. There's one life to live. And but it's broke up into two areas, right? Everybody who's ever had breath lives one life. And you live that forever. But there's two parts to that life. Please hear this. One life is just temporary. We're going to cover that. And the second life is eternal. We're going to cover that. Today we're laying a foundation to what home might look like. We're laying a foundation to kind of get to shift our attention off of just the temporary and how short it is and look to the eternal and how forever it is. And every person who's ever had breath has an eternal life somewhere. But yet it's broke up into two parts. Here, our part here on the earth, the Bible says, we're going to cover this, man. The Bible says it's like a shadow. It's like a breath. It's like a vapor. Here today, gone. And then we move into the second part, that which is forever. The Bible says if you live to be 80, you're in overtime, baby. You're in extra innings when you hit 80. That's amazing. That's amazing. And I know this, man. The longer you live, the quicker life goes. The longer you live, the quicker life goes. My dad turns 83 December 25th. He's a Christmas baby. He gets robbed every year. Like, you got birthday and you got Christmas on the same day. Dad, I love you. I'm probably going to give you one big gift and then a small birthday gift. Like, that's just probably the way it goes for his life, right? If you are born on Christmas, you have got robbed of your Christmas gifts. That's all there is to it. Double dipping on Christmas. But my man is going to be 83 this year, and you come to a place to realize he's in extra innings. I'm hoping he takes it to the 22nd inning. Let's go. But when you realize that when you hit 80, you're in overtime. When you hit 80, you're extra innings. I want you to flip with me a couple places. We're going to get a Bible workout, and we got to cruise. James 4, verse 14. James 4, 14. And then we look at Psalms 144, verse 4. And these are just two places of many, many, many places. I'm just trying to set a stage here because we got to get somewhere today. I want you to see this. Come on. James 4, 14 says this. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you are just a vapor. Isn't that amazing that we come to a place that nobody in this room or online can guarantee that they'll be here tomorrow? Isn't it amazing that we only have today? We truly, yes, we plan for tomorrow. We plan a one-year, five-year. I have a one-year, five-year, 10-year plan. I have a plan of what's going to look like years from now. I try to set up my kids, have a future plan. Know what your 1 year, where are you going to be in 1 year? You should know that. Where are you going to be in 5 years? You should probably know that and hit that mark. Where are you going to be in 10 years? You know what? We hope to hit that mark. 1 year, 5 year, 10-year plan. So we absolutely think for the future. We plan for the future. But tomorrow's not guaranteed for any person who's ever in this room or online. So what does that mean? That's not anything of walking in fear. That's a biblical truth. We come to this place, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. For you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Isn't it kind of a bummer when we do, we have this vertical view. I'm sorry, this horizontal view, east to west. We look at person, places, and things here and now. And honestly, for me personally, most of the time that I'm really concentrated and more focused on vertical is usually at a funeral. Either going to a funeral or officiating a funeral. That's when you actually are reminded of the forever. But man, I want to shift here, even in Believer's Chapel, in our mindset, that we start communicating about heaven more and we start looking to the eternal more, because it does something to your spirit here and now. It sets the stage to be reminded all this, even in the tragedy, even in the hurt, even in the brokenness, it is only temporary. And you come to this place to say, man, my life is like a vapor. Watch what he says. That appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this and do that. If, listen, tomorrow is up to the Lord. If the Lord wills to give me tomorrow, for this is the day, I love this, man. This is the day the Lord hath made, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. If the Lord wills to give me tomorrow, if I wake up tomorrow, man, then I can proclaim, this is the day the Lord hath made, I shall. It was his responsibility to give oxygen in my lungs for another day. It's my responsibility to give him joy, right? When you understand the reality of day in and day out, it belongs to the Lord. If he wills, then we will do this and we will do that. Come on, flip me quickly, please, to Psalm 144. I want to make a basis here. We've got to see it biblically to see the foundation here that life is short here on the first phase of life. Again, you only have one life. And if we think that this is our one life here in the temporary, we have desperately lied to. We have desperately missed it. That there is a forever and there is an eternal life that lasts an eternity. That is forever. And here we focus and put so much into the temporary. We put so much into the vapor that we forget about the forever. Watch this. I want you to see this. Psalms 144, verse 4 says this. Man is like mere breath. His days are like a shadow. Could you imagine that in all of eternity, in the scale of forever, how many breaths have you taken just today up to this hour, 12:06? How many breaths have you taken in a week, in a month, in a year? I'm 51 years old. I can't even imagine how many breaths I've taken in 51 years. And in the scope of eternity, my life equals one breath. That's how short life is. That's the time scale of life, is a breath. That's amazing. But we focus so much on the temporary. We put so much into the one breath that we miss out on the forever. Come on, if we would turn with me, please, to Matthew 6. Matthew 24 will be up on the screen. If you could put Matthew 24 up, please. I want you to see this. Matthew 25:46 says this. These will go away into eternal punishment. Hear this, please. There is life here, and there is life forever. Every single person who's ever had breath will live forever. And this is what Jesus says. Watch this. These will go away into eternal punishment. That is for those who've rejected Christ. That's for those who look at this and say, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. That there, the first part of where Jesus is saying there is these people, Matthew 25:46, Jesus is saying, there are those who reject me. There are those who try to do it their way. There are those, and Jesus says this, they will go into eternal punishment. But yet, watch this, the righteous into eternal life. Let me just be very clear, right? Here, right now, if you are unsaved, if you're watching this here in person, if you're online at any day that you watch this, if you are truly one who's rejected Jesus, if you're one who has said no to the cross, then please hear me. This is your best day. This is your best life. Because people have bought into another deception of the enemy of what hell might look like. Oh, hell's just going to be the keg. Hell's going to be the party. The women in high heels, they'll be doing their thing. They'll be dancing like I'm going to have a party with all of my drinking friends. Hell's just going to be, no. Watch this. What's it say? It's going to be eternal punishment. If you have rejected Christ, there is a forever for you. And I'm encouraging you, man, if you reject Christ, live it up now. This is the best you're ever going to have it. It's because eternal life without Christ is called death. And death doesn't mean like a rock. It doesn't mean you die and you turn into a rock and there's nothing left. Death means that you are have a forever, eternal separation from the presence of God. And in a place called hell is eternal darkness. It's punishment. It's the lake of fire. It's gnashing of teeth. It's lonely. Jesus defines it best as he says it's like Gehenna. He defines hell as Gehenna, and everyone in his day would know what Gehenna is, and it's this place right outside of Jerusalem walls, and it was the dump site. Gehenna was the dump site. That's where they took all of the dead animals. That's where they took all of the dead people, whether they were the ones crucified on a cross or ones who couldn't afford a burial. For those who couldn't afford a burial, they put them on this pile and just burned the bodies and burned the animals. That's where all the feces went. That's where all the garbage went. This, watch this. This was a big pile of firing trash and nastiness and dead animals and all of the feces of people and the animals of the streets. And they put it on this pile and lit the fire. And Jesus says, that's a picture of eternal punishment. So when you come to a place to build a foundation to say, everyone lives one life and everyone lives for an eternal, but yet it's broken up into two phases, and one of them is a blink, one of them is a breath, but yet the other one is forever. Come on, I want you to see this in Matthew 6. Because here it is, man. This is the good news, and I want to preach good news. And we come to a place to realize, man, it is my hope and it is my desire that everyone in this house and everyone online, you would come to a place to say, yes, I have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior. I know who my Lord is. Yes, I have repented from sin. Yes, I've come to him on his terms, that he is master and he is sir and he's in charge. And I call sin, sin, and I've repented from sin. I believe in Jesus only. And man, I've confessed that he is my Lord. I know that he sits at the right hand of the Father, and I know Christ is Lord and Savior. Now, man, let's look at heaven. Then let's look and say, okay, man, I need to stop looking at just the horizon, and I want to look at the vertical and say, man, I want to bend my heart towards home. But the reality is this, what we do here on the earth, watch this, as believers, what we do here on the earth, it carries ourselves to heaven. It goes with us. The Bible, you know, not the Bible. People would say, well, you can't take anything with you. There's no U-Hauls going to heaven. You've heard that one? That's a bumper sticker. Take it off your car. Because reality is this. I'm not saying there's U-Hauls going to heaven. I'm not saying if you put your money in your casket with you, which some foolish people have done, they think it's going somewhere. That's nonsense. But the truth is this, what you do here on the earth, what you do here on the earth as one who is a follower of Christ, that does go with you to heaven. It matters. It matters how we view the horizontal compared to the vertical. It matters when you have an understanding of my time here on the earth is just temporary. But what I do in this breath called life, what I do with what God has given me, it matters for my reward in heaven. Listen, you get saved only by the blood of Christ. You get saved only by his grace, not by good works. But once you get saved, we're called to good works. Don't flip it. Good works don't lead to salvation. But watch this. Salvation leads to good works. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. Good works do not lead to salvation. But when you are saved, it leads to good works. And good works leads to rewards in heaven. I want to prove it to you. Watch this. Come on. And you can look at this in 1 Corinthians 3. You can see there's two different judgments when it comes to eternal judgment. There's the great white throne judgment. That is for those who've rejected Christ. That is for those who will be punished for their sin. And then there's the Bema Seat judgment, which is for you and I, those who are in Christ. Listen, please, this is such great news that you and I in Christ, we will never be judged for our sin. Jesus Christ took the hit for you and me in that moment on the cross. God the Father poured out his judgment on his sin, on his son for sin, that you and I would never face judgment for sin. But we will stand before the Bema Seat throne. And that is judgment for your good works. That is judgment for what have you done to build his kingdom. And you can see that in 1 Corinthians 3. It gives this amazing picture that when you and I go before this throne, this is a true story. This is what's going to happen. So we're trying to put our time here on the earth to an eternal equation to know, watch this, church, this is not our home. We're aliens here. We're not citizens here. This is a blink. This is a breath. This is a vapor. This is a shadow. But everything we do in this time that is a shadow, everything that we do in this time here on the earth that matters for our eternal reward. Watch this. I love 1 Corinthians 3. When you unpack this, it's me standing before the throne. This is actually going to happen. Where the Lord will lay out everything that I've ever done on a table. Not my wrong, not my sin, but my works. And he's going to light fire to it. If it's hay or straw, it'll burn. If it's gold, silver, or precious stones, it'll remain. The gold, the silver, and the precious stones, that equates to my work done for him. The rust equates for the work done for me. And he's going to light it all on fire. And everything that burns up was done in my name. Was useless. But everything that remains was for his kingdom and was for his glory. And watch this. This is huge. Based off of what remains gives eternal reward. Come on, love, that we are reminded today that this is not our home. We've got to stop with the horizontal percent of just looking at this horizontal view, and we would come to a place to get a vertical view to say, what I do here in the temporary, it matters for my eternity. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Watch this, Matthew 6:19. Matthew 6:19. I don't even know if that was up there, but if you turn to Matthew 6, please. We're flipping to Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, but where thieves can break in and steal. But store up, watch this, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I love this. Come on, we can preach a great message on priority. We can preach a great message, and you've heard me see it because I believe this throughout Scripture. Hey, let's look at your checkbook. I don't care about your checkbook. I'm saying for you to do a self-check. You look at your checkbook, and you can see your priorities. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But let's look at the context of this. Come on, I want you to see this. Matthew 16:19, I want you to see this. Watch this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Temporary. Watch this. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Wait. What do you mean? How do I do that? How do I store up for myself treasures in heaven? Look what he says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Listen, I believe in reaping and sowing. I believe that God blesses those who are generous. But I believe in the context of Matthew 6:19-20-21, you see this. This is a heavenly verse. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Where your treasure is, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Please hear this. Are we investing in God's kingdom? We're not taking up an offering. We're not looking to get money here. I'm asking where your investments are. Because if you're investing in the kingdom of God, if you understand tithes and offerings, if you're investing in his kingdom, then you have a heart that's towards heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Do not store up treasures on earth, but store up treasures in heaven. Watch this. Please hear this. Connect the dots here. Come on, look at it in context. If my heart is in heaven, then my treasure, we go towards heavenly things. If my heart is towards heaven, then my treasure will go towards building his kingdom. When you see this, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. And this isn't trying to get an offering. This is a heavenly contextual verse that talks about, is my heart towards heaven? Or is my heart towards the temporary? And the checkbook defines where our hearts are. But watch this. This is huge. This is the Lord speaking. He says this. This is about money, but I got to cruise because there's other places we got to get to. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light is in your darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters. Neither. He will hate the one, love the other. He will be devoted to the one, desire the other. You cannot serve God and money. That means who owns who? Do you own your money or does your money own you? Watch this. But all of this, I love where Jesus takes us. He's like, listen, okay, if you have a heart that's towards heaven, it'll show up in your earthly treasure going toward heavenly things. But watch what he says. Watch this. I love this. Verse 25, for this reason I say to you, do not be worried. I love it. Because we can get so anxious and worried about the horizontal. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Listen, I love where Jesus says this. He's talking about that heavenly perspective. He's talking about is your heart towards heaven, and we're investing in kingdom-minded things. Watch this. He says this, do not be worried about your life. How can he say that? Because when my heart is towards heaven, I don't concern myself with always just the horizontal. I have a heavenly perspective. Watch what he says, verse 27. And you, who you by worrying about, by being worried, can add a single hour to this life. Verse 31, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? But first seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself, for today has enough trouble of its own. See, there has to be, watch this, I believe there has to be a shift in our spirit in a sense of how we view our heaven and how we view things here on the earth as simply just temporary. We look around to the season we're in, it's temporary. Are we taking that which is our treasure and investing it in kingdom? Why? Because our heart is towards heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And it's speaking of heaven. Now listen, when we understand this, please hear this. Second part to this message is this. Well, first one is this. Life is short, but yet eternity is forever. Life here, the first phase of life is a blink. And what you do in this blink, it matters for forever. We've got to know that. The second piece to this is this, that heaven is a real place. And church, there's a day that we get to go home. There's a day that we get to go home. Man, I think so many times, honestly, myself, I get so caught up in the temporary. I do. I get so caught up in the here and now. I love my life. Like, I have this great life. I have an amazing wife. Truly, I love my wife. We have fun together. We have this great friendship together. We laugh together. We cry together. We have these three amazing gifts that God has given us that are now they're functioning on their own. And I believe that we've done our job and our part in almost two out of three, almost. Olivia's moved out of the house. She moved upstairs to the attic. We see her every now and then when she blesses us. It's amazing. It's a great relationship. We have a great life. God has allowed me to be a police officer for many years, which fulfilled just a desire of mine, which I loved. They'd have to take me out in a wheelchair if it hadn't been for Believer's Chapel. Loved it. But then God blesses us with BC, and God blessed us with truly, in my opinion, the greatest people on the planet here in this church that we get the privilege to pastor, and God has blessed us with a staff and a team that is just unmatched to any other that I've ever worked with. And I say that because I can come to this place to love life so much that I forget that it's only just temporary. You see, my Nana, this book just brought up a lot of memories of my Nana. And she was such a joy. She had lost her husband, and she would go back and forth between Aunt Margie and my mom's homes, and she would spend time at both homes for long periods of time, and she was just such a joy. And you would see this eternal mindset in my Nana that I am often reminded of, and I ask myself, Sean, where is that in you? Where we would come in the living room in the morning, and there would be Nana with her little cassette tape. Many of you may not even know what a cassette tape is. It's this thing with tape in it, had music on it. They were amazing little things. And she would just push play, and it would either be a message or it would just be simple worship. And this was so beautiful, because this was a morning practice for my Nana, that she would literally just, you would walk in on her and you'd try to just watch just for a moment before she'd know that you were there. And she'd have her hands in the air, just truly just her and Jesus. And she'd be looking out the window, saying, maybe Jesus will come for me today. Maybe you'll come for me today. Maybe today's the day. Church, what happens when you see a picture of such a relationship with her Jesus, with her Savior, with her friend? And she wasn't looking to the horizontal, man. She was looking to what it looked like. Just maybe today I can go home. Maybe today I can go home. And I'm so grateful for that picture that is just etched within my spirit to say, Sean, there's a day that you get to go home. As you think life is good here, and that's great, because God does want to bless us here. And his goodness and his mercy does follow us all the days of our life. And yes, there is reaping and there is sowing and there's choice and there's reward and there's also consequence. And we are so grateful for the life that we get to live and how beautiful it is. How good it is, but I don't want to forget how great heaven will be. And there will be a day that all of this is just temporary and we get to go home. And I want to have that spirit of my Nana that looks out the window and say, just maybe today's the day that I get to go home. You see, there is a shift in that mindset of not living for today, but looking forward to one day going home. And I love my mom. Obviously, God has blessed me with a mom and dad, and God has blessed me with a mom who takes up so much of Nana's character and takes so much of her love for people and her time of praying for people and what she does for so, so many people. I'm so thankful to my mom and Jesus, who I see in her, and her love for going home, and her love for future, and her understanding of what life looks like forever. And you come to a place, we see this great picture. I want to close this. If you would turn with me, please, to Acts 7. I want to read this. Because here's this picture. We see, I'm going to throw up a couple verses here. If we can put those up real quick. Do we have John 6:38? I don't know if we have those up on screen or not. John 6:38 says this, because I want you to know this. Heaven is a place. It's not this mystery in the sky. It's not just mystical. It's an actual real place. And I want to, you can keep that up, but I want you to see something that when you, and I'm trying to simplify the three heavens, right? There's three heavens. And the first heaven, let me make this as simple as I can without getting complicated. The first heaven is the one that you see by day. The second heaven is the one that you can see by night. Who saw the moon last night or this morning when you got up? The moon was unbelievable. The stars were brilliant. The moon was huge. That there, that's the second heaven. So the first heaven is the one we see by day. The second heaven is the one we see by night. And the third heaven is the one you see by faith. And the third heaven is a very real place. It's not just this mystical place in the sky. It's a very real place. It's a place where there's a throne. It's a place where the presence of God dwells, where God himself in Jesus dwells. It's a place where angels dwell and they're flying around the throne. It's a very real place, absent from this body, is to be present with the Lord. We're going to talk on that maybe even next week. What does it look like to know that I am going to a place called heaven? It's not just a bunch of fat babies in diapers with strings and with wings. That's not heaven. It's not this mystical place. It's a very real place. Watch what the Bible says. This is Jesus. For I have come down from heaven. He came down from a place, right? He left a place called heaven to come to a place called earth, right? And when you see that he left heaven to come to a place called earth, Luke 24, if you could put up that up, please. I want you to see this, because in the understanding of this, when you see this, you realize he left a place called heaven. Look at this. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried. Watch this. Was carried up to a what? Up to a place called heaven. Man, this takes the part of the mystery out of, well, what is it? Just this mystical place like a bunch of floating babies in diapers? No, it's a very real place. It's a place where Jesus was. It's a place where Jesus left. It's a place that Jesus went back to. It's a place that you and I, when we give our last breath here, is a place that our spirit will go home to heaven. And in that, you can bank on it, man. This is not our home. That we are, I promise you, biblically, we are going to a place, that same place where Jesus came from, that same place that Jesus left here to go back to, that same place, even in Acts 1, you see it, where Jesus is having his very last conversation. It mimics Luke 24. It mimics the New Testament. At the end of the New Testament, you see where Jesus was lifted up. And the angels, there's two angels in Acts 1, say the same way that he left the heaven, he will come back. So we know that he's gone to a place. John 14, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Man, when you understand we go to a place, I want to close with this. Look at Acts 7. This is our deacon, Stephen. He's a deacon, and Stephen did these amazing works. He was serving the people, and he was out preaching the gospel, and he was out taking care of people. And watch, Stephen is the first, besides Jesus, Stephen is the first martyr for his stance and his faith. And he was this chosen one to be a deacon, a chosen one to serve. And Stephen was radical, man. Stephen wasn't concerned about the opinion of man. What happens when you know, watch this, what happens when you know that this here, the horizontal, truly is, it is only temporary? That there will be a day that I get to go home, and that will be my life. That will be my forever. And Stephen had that. He understood that. Well, Stephen was radical, man. He came to a place to come against the Pharisees and the scribes. He came against the old prophets who turned against God, and he spoke boldly about it, so much so that they arrested him. And he continued to speak boldly about it, so much so that they gritted their teeth, they knitted their teeth, and they wanted to kill Stephen. They wanted to stone Stephen. I want you to see this. This is huge. Verse 55. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven, a place. Come on, I want you to see this, man. He's got the council that is against him. He's got the council that has arrested him. And he knows, man, they are picking up rocks. And these aren't like little eggs. I couldn't even imagine what it would mean to be stoned to death. I couldn't imagine these huge boulders striking you in your legs, striking you in the face, striking you in the back, striking you in the chest, where you've got these people just hurling these boulders at you. Watch this, intensely looking into heaven. This is what he saw. And he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Now, this is a real picture. This really happened, that you've got Stephen, did his thing, did whatever he could to spread the gospel, did whatever he could to serve people, did whatever he could to stand his ground on truth. And he looks up into heaven knowing that this is my last moments. It's amazing that the heavens opened up. And he sees into the place of heaven. He sees where Jesus is standing. Acts 1 says Jesus took a seat and he sat at the right hand of the Father. But here in this picture, and I don't know if Jesus was giving Stephen a standing ovation. I don't know what he was doing. But we see where in Acts 1, when he completed his task, he took a seat. But we see here in Acts 7, when Stephen is looking into heaven, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. But they cried out with a loud voice, covered their ears and rushed him with one impulse. And they had driven him out of the city and began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. That turns into the Apostle Paul. How this action turned Paul's heart. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said this, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. This is amazing. When you see this picture, you got Stephen. He knows what's to come. He knows he's about to give his life. He intensely looks into heaven. And for whatever reason, God's glory parted the skies that he could get this picture of Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, come on, how many of us would be in this place where we see these guys picking up boulders and we just see Jesus watching? We come to this place and go, hey, aren't you going to do anything? Hey, Jesus, you just going to stand there and watch? How many times do we look at the horizontal and we look at the temporary and say, God, don't you know what's happening? God, this is tragic. Maybe we have gone through it, a very real tragedy. Maybe we have lost a loved one. Maybe we've lost a child. Maybe we've gone through some serious, some very real heartbreaking tragedy, and we've come to a place. Say, God, don't you see this? Because we can make it about us quickly. Here you've got Stephen. These big boulders in these people's hands about to take his life, and he sees Jesus standing, and I could just imagine him knowing, I'm about to go home. I'm leaving the temporary to go to my eternal. I'm leaving the temporary because I'm going home. And Jesus isn't standing there to throw a lightning bolt down. Jesus is standing there to receive his friend Stephen. And then he gives us a wonderful picture here, and he says, receive my spirit. The Bible says, absent from the body is to be home with the Lord. What happens when you die, when you are a believer? And we'll cover this more probably next week. Absent from this body is to be instantly home with the Lord. Watch this. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then falling on his knees, I couldn't imagine just having to stand and just get pelted with boulders, and you're crying out to the Lord. And you see the heavens parted, and you see Jesus saying, come on. What is it to know that Jesus will receive you and I? It's beautiful. And then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Having said this, he fell asleep. Fell asleep doesn't mean that he went into a sleep. Fell asleep literally means he died. That's what fell asleep means, he died. Because he just said, receive my spirit. I'm about to breathe my last and go into a place of in this life, I am dead, but you will receive my spirit. But in the midst of all of this, watch this. Come on, we'll close with this. That we look at this, that we've got to have an understanding that he was so not looking at the temporary. Even for those who were picking up boulders, even when he was bleeding from his skull, bleeding from his side, boulders ripping through his skin, coming to a place, say, Lord, don't hold this against them. Are you kidding me? I'd be like, God, firebomb them. Don't judge me. I got a lot of growth to do here. I'm growing. But I'd be like, kill them all. But he had such a mind and a heart towards home that he was, Lord, even as rocks are hitting my skull and even as rocks are taking my last breath, I ask that you don't hold this against them. Are you kidding me? He had such his eyes set on that which is eternal and that which is home. He was leaving the temporary behind. Come on, bow your heads, please. We got to bounce. Come on, let me ask you, where are you in this today? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you come to this place to know the Lord? To know the Lord? To say, man, I am in this temporary realm, and I know that I know Jesus. I have come to him on his terms. I have repented, I have believed, and I have surrendered. If you're in this place and you're online and you don't know Christ, man, I beg you today, turn your heart towards him. Invite Christ into your life. Ask forgiveness of your sins and give your life to him. Give your life to him. Surrender to Jesus today so that you will have forever life with him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him will not perish, that's eternal life, but will have everlasting life. It speaks of heaven. Watch this. John 3:16 speaks of heaven. In the most popular verse on the planet, it speaks of heaven. Father, we love you. We thank you. And in this moment, we are grateful that our minds will be stuck on things above and not on the horizontal things of this earth. Come on, as Katie sings, come on, let's put our attention towards heaven. Amen. Come on.